Well, welcome to the Blessed Earth Show, and I'm back with my friend Jeff. Thanks for joining us, and Jeff, I just got back from Florida with my lovely wife and my lovely daughter. We're along, and we were at a conference of the Salvation Army, and it was a green conference, and it was wonderful, and the Sallies, as they're affectionately known by many people, just a wonderful group, really take to heart that the least among us, you know, they're just really concerned about, if I was a drunk and on the side of the street or homeless or a tornado had just blown my house down, I'd want the Salvation Army bugle blowing over the hill, is what I thought. And they're just great people. And now I'm like, if my planet's dying, I brought this up with them. I want them to have the Green Berets and a special Green Tactical Division or whatever.
That's right. So,
it's Lent, and some of our friends give up things for Lent. And do you give up anything for
Lent? You know, I have in the past, and it's been really formative and a blessing. And this year, I think I'm going to give up things. See how that goes.
Okay.
But I think taking on some, I know some of our friends turn this around and say, I want to take on a practice, maybe being more diligent about reading the lectionary readings or spending some time in the morning.
Ooh, I like that.
Being grateful and taking on a practice can also be formative. And I think that the point, like you said, the point is, how do we draw closer to the experience of Christ? How do we draw closer to what it means to be fully human in the ways of Jesus? And if we can strip back some things in our life, great. If we can add some things, that's a good thing too. So it's definitely nice to have marks on the calendar like this.
Well, I'm going to give up Coke because I'm green and I drink Coke. How much sense does that make? And actually, we discussed when I got one this morning. Ooh, he fell already. Coke in my family was just something that was good because the soda pop tax in West Virginia helped build a 4-year medical school, and my uncle was the dean that got that going and everything. So, you know, to us, it was like holy communion stuff
thing.
Practically.
Yeah.
And so I've been addicted to Coke my whole life. And so I've got it down to having one a day. Isn't that pathetic though?
Yeah, it's pretty pitiful. Oh. I'll work on you. It's okay.
Okay.
We'll keep going.
So
don't give up.
So God bless everybody in the thing that they're trying to give up
trying
to do more of this Lent. I hope you're doing better than I'm doing. And
well, and I think the heart of this is about, for me, it's about, you know, ashes to ashes, Ash Wednesday today. And so we're reminded that we come from the earth and to the earth will return. And this idea of limitations is a really critical Christian reflection, that there are limits to things. There are limits to the amount of gas we can use. There are limits to the amount of trees we can cut down before we snuff out all life. And I think Lent, in a very pointed way, reminds us of our limitations. And your limitations are one a day of Coke. So, you know, that's okay.
Well, you know, and thanks for pointing that out, though, that I think one of the, I don't know how to put it, but bad theology, or maybe, you know, I could use the heresy word or something that I've encountered in the church are people that think that God gave us license, that we have no limits or limitations. Mm. And if we were to back up to that Psalm 32, David's crying out and he's saying, you know, when I was just doing whatever I wanted, I was miserable. And God, and it's kind of like God says, do you want to be like a dumb horse or mule that I got to put a bit in your mouth?
Mm.
Let's work together here. And so, but it isn't, gee, I gave you license to do anything you want. It's a relationship that we think our faith brings us to where we lovingly embrace some of the limits that we're given.
Yeah, and yet all this abundance, and yet we long for the thing we can't have. And so a Christian discipline for me, for Lent, the last couple of years, it's been helpful, is to desire that which we have already and to learn to, and contentment is a Christian virtue, but it's a very countercultural virtue in our time, where discontentment is kind of that's what makes us good consumers, and that's what keeps us wanting more.
we probably ought to talk about our practical things that we're doing. And as you know, I've related this, as it should be, not to finances and not to good stewardship, but to romance. We've just moved to a new place, and one of the opportunities we have here is to do more insulation. We have opportunities for many things, but for more insulation, and I kind of have looked into the, some of this, and getting at walls, we have just fiberglass bats in the walls here, what it was built with. The place is only about 22 years old. But the attic presents a great opportunity because it's got 12 inches of insulation up there. And all I got to do is, I mean, to really make my wife just starry-eyed is to dump another 24 inches of insulation in there. And, I just think about her getting all dressed up and dolled up and everything and taking her out to dinner and then telling her about the new insulation.
Yeah, that's really special.
You know, and it's one of those hidden romance things, you know, that nobody knows about, but her and me in the attic. I want to know which one to do, because that's one possibility, but the windows are another. Mm. Now, particularly on the south side of this house, we have they're thermopane windows. But since the thermopane was put in a couple decades ago, they've come up with low E and argon filled windows. And we have a tremendous solar gain, which in the wintertime is great.
It's good, warms the room up, yeah.
But in the summertime is really bad. And we live here in Kentucky, in one of those places where we're kind of balanced in the amount of energy that we spend heating and cooling. Some areas of the country, it's kind of all one direction or another. Mm. We lived in New England. We never had any cooling in our house. And you live in Florida, I don't think, you can probably get away without heating most of the time.
Right.
But here we're kind of balanced. The point I want to make is that we get that solar gain, but these windows also keep you from loss, from heat loss. And that's a little harder to feel in the wintertime. And so with this low E argon, it actually bounces the heat back into the house. And a lot of people aren't aware of that.
Oh.
And so replacing at least this one window in the room that we're on in the south side, or these two windows here, is probably going to save a lot of energy. That's an expensive thing. It costs a fair amount to replace windows, particularly because I'm not allowed to put the cheapest kind in here. I live in a townhouse, and you have to do something that matches. But just your thoughts, Jeff, which do you think would wow Nancy more?
Wow. Oh, you know, I'm going to have to let you make that decision. This week.
This is where we need a woman's touch.
Well, for me, this week, my dear wife, I made her really happy, and it always surprised me just how happy she is. We went and picked up a huge load of compost. And a huge load of mulch.
Oh, you smoothie.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that was...
Gotta get a babysitter.
I had to borrow a truck. It required a lot of effort. Yeah, but, you know, it pays off. I mean, that was... So it wasn't so much windows with us. It was gardening.
Yeah.
Gardening things. So I know exactly where you're coming from, but when it comes to the insulation, a window, that's a tough call.
You know, I'm going to throw this out there to the ether. And that if anyone listening has some thoughts on if you just had like a romantic husband like me and they were going to do one of these two, which one would be the best? And
yeah.
we'll let the public
decide.
Let the people decide. they've got to both be done. but which one should I spring for the next big event, which is our 30th wedding anniversary coming up in a couple of months here. So
wow, what are we looking at for the people?
The next thing we wanted to talk about is what's going on in the world. And there's lots of political stuff. I'm not a terribly knowledgeable political person, so we'll dodge most of that. But gas prices are up at the pump. What do you think about that, Jeff?
I... I have to admit, I'm okay with it. Like, I recognize that it does cause some financial stress for people, that it changes things, just transporting our food, transporting everything that we buy and sell, all the commodities. But, you know, having come from a country where gas prices are already much more than here from Australia, but I think we've had, as an American now, as a citizen of this place, I can say we have had cheap gas for a long time. And the real cost, whether it's political instability or environmental damage, has been passed on to other people in the world. And so for me, I don't get stressed out about it. I recognize that it costs more, but I kind of hope people don't drive as much. I think there's a lot of extra driving that could drop and without hurting too many people.
You know, it's interesting because when it kind of shows our memory, and it relates to the Bible in this. Have you ever wondered when God took the Hebrew people out of Egypt, and, you know, dramatic stuff. Have you seen the movie Ten Commandments?
Oh yeah.
You know, splitting the waters and the Red Sea, and they forget, you know, a couple minutes later. Mm. And sometimes we wonder, well, how could you forget that there's a God there when there's a pillar of light and shade, you know, brought by a cloud in the daytime, and manna is raining down. How do you forget that God's there? I think our memories are really, really flawed. If there's something about humans that's just amazing, it's our memories. And gas prices get cheap, and everybody forgets, and they start buying big cars again and not thinking about where they're going. I was in a church in Texas. Talk about oil refineries and that sort of thing. I mentioned that we ought to have a thankful heart, and that one of the problems with having gas and electricity and all these natural resources that are so convenient is that we don't even think about them. And if we don't think about them, we don't have this grateful heart. And I asked people, you know, how many of you have said a prayer of thanks when you filled up your tank? We say thanks when we eat a meal, and we say that because we realize that it's God's blessing, it's God's sustaining hand in our life. It's not an entitlement, it's a privilege to be able to eat. And we recognize that there are many people around the world that don't have enough. And so we say a prayer of thanks. And so why don't we say a prayer of thanks when we fill up our tank?
And it does raise the question of sustainability. We know gas is a finite resource. They're not making much more of it. At least it takes a long time to make it. And maybe that can spark some questions about sustainability too.
You know, and we'll probably have just a whole show on this. What would a sustainable economy look like? And it's the giant topic. We'll just bring it up that it's one for the future. You know, what would it look like? Because it's so strange to me that we hear that, oh, this might slow the economy down and it would be very, very bad. And maybe we should, you know, what am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to go out and spend more? And it seems to me a very, very bad way of doing business that you know, in order to eat, you have to cannibalize your community or something.
Yeah, and to that end, I brought a little definition of a very short one-sentence definition of sustainability. Sustainability is the ability to meet present needs without compromising those of future generations. And so that's to frame it within, you know, sustainability is kind of almost a buzzword like community and a whole host of words that kind of lose their meaning and slip and slide around in our language. If we think about our children and their children and their children and their children and our current lifestyles, that's a good starting place for sustainability.
That's great. So we'll have a whole talk on that in the future. I think our next big conference is the Christian Education Conference, and I got to tell you about a conflict of interest.
Uh-oh.
I have this rule that if I say I'm going to be somewhere, I'm just there. I think I've only missed one conference ever because the airport got snowed in here and I just could not get out. But if I tell you I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. And I go to places on first ask, first yes. You know, and if you're a little tiny place and, you know, you've got very limited resources, we generally say yes. And then if later for that date somebody with has a great offer, you know, to play the Astrodome or whatever, you know, we say no. And so I'm really excited about this Christian Educators Conference because that's, you know, the future. But I got to tell you, I'm just a little conflicted because I got an invitation in the mail from the Bishop of Liverpool asking me to come and hang with a bunch of his friends, including His Highness and the Duchess of somebody.
Oh, wow.
His Highness the Prince, yeah, Prince Charles. And so I just want those people at the Christian Education Conference to know that,
I gave up,
yeah, and, you know, and on them too, you know, kind of thing.
Wow.
So anyways, no regrets at all.
No, but good to get that out of your system
Good to get that out of my system. But God bless, and read your lectionaries and your Bibles, and stay green.
All right.